Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
What's happening in the musical when this song is sung is the people are using their voices in, I would say, prophetic ways to say the ways that we are having to live, the ways that we are treated, the ways that there is this this disparity between rich and poor is not okay. The ways that we are marginalized, that's not okay. And not only are they saying it's not okay, they're saying we will not be silent. We might parallel that with some voices that that we're hearing today, perhaps voices that are proclaiming Me Too. These are a people who will not be slaves again. These are a people whose voices will not be silenced. It's interesting to me, you know, Victor Hugo's book has been available for quite a long time. I've told you before, I tried to read it, and it's a hard read. At least in English. I don't know enough French to have tried it in French, but I sort of imagine that maybe it might be a difficult read in French as well. But bringing the story in music makes it accessible. Bringing the story in music has what has, I would say, made it a worldwide phenomenon of a story. Bringing the story in music has brought power. It's brought the story in a new language. Now, I am one who has said for years and years and years that there are many languages in which we might experience the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe that one of them is through music. And so as we sort of talk a little bit about this story today, as we have, I'm inspired by that phrase, do you hear the people sing? Do we hear God when we hear God's story in music? For me, I do. And you know, maybe that's because I'm a musician, but I think even for those who have a love of music, even if you don't have those gifts to bring music yourself, maybe you can still hear God's voice present in music. See, because I believe that God is still speaking as well. And there are many ways that we might hear God's voice, but again, one of those, I would say, is through the lens of music, through the experience of music. Now, as I was thinking about this message today, and particularly as I was thinking about the scripture that we'll hear shortly, there's a podcast that I listen to, and it's called Pulpit Fiction. I don't know if you've heard of this podcast before. It's proclaimed by the creators of this podcast. It's for preachers, seekers, and Bible geeks is the way they frame it. You're welcome to find that podcast and listen to it. It's a free podcast. I will tell you, though, that I use it as a resource, so if you listen to the podcast, you might hear some stuff in the sermon when it comes up. So, you know, that's one of my sources, and I just want to be authentic about that. But it's a good podcast, and there's stuff that comes up in that that I don't always use because it's always just really good. But one of the things that came up with the podcast that relates to the scripture that we have today is a song that I'd never heard before. Now, you may be familiar with the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's out of, Acts 8, I think. So perhaps you've heard this story, but I've never heard it in song before. Well, it turns out in this podcast, they have like guest artists who bring music onto the podcast from time to time. There is an artist who wrote a song about the Ethiopian eunuch, and it's actually a really sort of a compelling song. To me, you know, the way I heard it when I heard the podcast and the way I will bring it to you today, frankly, it reminds me of Tom Petty. I don't know if you're a Tom Petty fan. I heard a yes out there. All right, there we go. So perhaps you'll hear it the same way that I do. But this is a song called, I got to turn the page here. This is a song called The Treasurer's Report to Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. I got to tell you, when I write a song, I make a shorter title, but I'm not going to judge. Just a quick word about this before we get into the song. If we read the text, and we'll hear it in just a moment, we often sort of talk about Candace as the name of the Queen of Ethiopia. No. Apparently, that word that we pronounce Candace, frankly, we Americanize it, one should be pronounced Candace. I'm going to sing this song the way the author intended it, but if we're going to be real, it's actually pronounced Candace, and it's a word that indicates, it's like a title for the Queen of Ethiopia. So as we're looking authentically at the text, that's important to know. But first, let's hear the song. Again, the treasurer's report to Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians.
I was riding in my chariot, reading through the scrolls, leaving old Jerusalem, headed for home. Got the words of Isaiah running through my head about the lamb to the slaughter that ends up dead. Now I didn't know how to read it, it was some kind of code. And then a local comes walking up the wilderness road. He asks what I'm reading and can he read it too? Oh my, Queen Candace, have I got news for you. Yeah, I know all about the economy and the Ethiopian treasury and taxes and budgets and finances, but I never heard a thing like the story of his. We read through the book and it all made sense. He was a witness to the evidence. The prophecy fulfilled and the words were true. Oh my, Queen Candace, have I got news for you. Well, the lamb went to slaughter, but that wasn't the end. Life rises out of death again. And freedom is a free gift from above. I get a picture of grace and a picture of love. So I stopped my chariot by the riverside. Got down in the water and there I died. And I came up clean and I came up new. Oh, my Queen Candace, have I got news for you. Oh my, Queen Candace, have I got news for you. Oh my, Queen Candace, have I got news for you.
I feel like I find that song compelling, but I also feel like, man, let's hear the story. Like, let's hear it out of the text. And so I'm going to invite Dee to come and read us this story of the Ethiopian eunuch, and we'll explore that a little bit in some creative ways.
Morning, I'm Dee, and I'm reading this instead of one of the kids, because first service, one of the youth read it, and she actually went, oh my God, because it is so hard. So I'm going to read it, reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. An angel from the Lord spoke to Philip. At noon, take the road that leads to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he did. Meanwhile, an Ethiopian man was on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had come to worship. He was a eunuch and an official responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace is the title given to the Ethiopian queen. He was reading the prophet Isaiah while sitting in his carriage. The Spirit told Philip, approach this carriage and stay with it. Running up to the carriage, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you really understand what you're reading? The man replied, without someone to guide me, how could I? Then he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants, because his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me about whom did this prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else? Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, water. What would keep me from being baptized? He ordered the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself in Azotus. He traveled through that area, preaching the good news in all the cities that he until he reached Caesarea.
Now, the first question that may come to mind for you is, because it's what happened to me, and I'm just going to project this on you, is, like, what's a eunuch? Like, what does that mean, a eunuch? Who is this person? It's obviously a person of means because he's in a carriage, right? Not everybody travels around in a carriage, okay? So he's a person of means. He's a person of faith. The text tells us that he comes from the temple and indicates that he was at the temple to worship. But who is this man? What is it about this story that's important? Historically, a eunuch is a person who was born male and then had some part of his genitalia cut off. Now, historically, this might be important in royalty. This particular eunuch is someone who served the Queen of Ethiopia. I just read a story in the news in the last week about the last eunuch out of China who had been serving an empress or emperor of China. And so there was something about that in the news recently. But very often we'll take this definition of a eunuch as somebody who's had some sort of procedure done, right? And we'll sort of limit our definition of that way, but we can't really allow that limitation to take place. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about eunuchs who were born that way. Now, this text in Acts doesn't tell us if this eunuch was born that way or had some kind of procedure done, but I got to tell you, I read this passage in a particular way. You see, I read this passage as, in our Christian tradition, so I'm not talking about the Old Testament, but I'm talking about in our Christian tradition, this is a passage about the inclusion of a gender non-binary person. That's how I read this passage, about inclusion of someone who doesn't fit into gender binaries. And I think it's a prophetic story and a powerful story. Someone who is a person of deep faith who, depending on who was in charge of the temple that day, and I mean that literally, depending on who was in charge of the temple that day, because the scribes and the Pharisee read some scriptures differently, they may or may not have been able to worship in the temple. If someone had a more strict reading of scripture, this eunuch, they would not have been allowed in the temple to worship. So this is potentially a person who was not allowed to worship, who may be experiencing some sense of frustration, and then on their way back home, when they're stopped by reading this passage and having this conversation with Philip, and then says, well, there's this water by the side of the road. If what you say is true, what's to prevent me from experiencing God's grace too? I like the way that question is asked. What's to stop this? Nothing. Nothing is to stop you from experiencing God's grace too. But we don't always get to the opportunity to ask that question, and we don't always get the opportunity to hear an answer filled with grace and hope and peace in that way. I submit that there are folks in this room right now who have in some way been prevented from approaching the God that they believe in. It still happens, my friends. Whether that's when we talk about women being allowed to lead in churches, whether that's when we talk about persons who don't fit into gender binaries as the eunuch, whether it's conversations about people of color, whether it's people that talking about people of differing abilities or people suffering from mental illness, whether it's people, as we think about the inclusion or non-inclusion of LGBTQ persons, there are times today where people are prevented from approaching their God. I would suggest that this eunuch was prevented from worshiping and approaching the God that they believe in. And when we are prevented from that, I find that we struggle. We struggle with the questions that we ask. We struggle with the questions that come up. We struggle with, if I cannot approach the God that I believe in, then where is God? Is God constrained to a particular place or a particular room, as was the tradition in the temple? Where is God? And as we continue through this time and exploring this message through the lens of music, we have several songs through which we'll explore this. And the first is a song that I wrote. It's a song that I wrote in my last year of seminary. You know, I found in Christian music I don't find a lot of progressive theology in today's Christian music. There's certainly not a whole lot of Christian music about the theodicy, about where is God when bad stuff happens. And so I felt compelled to write this song again in my last year of seminary. It's a song called "Where Are You?" By the way, I just want to share that while we... I'm going to say a prayer. I like to say a prayer when I hear a siren. Gracious God, go with those who are in aid to others. Go with those who are requiring your aid. Offer your presence and your hope, your peace, your comfort, so that life may be drawn out of this difficult situation. Amen. Thank you for hearing me through that. As we hear some of this music through this time of message today, I did put the lyrics up on the screen. Sometimes when I sing, I don't always enunciate as well as I do. At least I think I do when I speak. And so it's important. There's so much message in these lyrics they'll be on the screen. So don't feel like that means you have to sing, but you're welcome to. Good. All right. So as I said, this first song is a song that sort of has that same question in it that we often ask, especially when we feel like we're prevented from accessing God. The song is called "Where Are You?"
When the earth shakes and my heart breaks, where are you? In revealing that sinking feeling, where are you? I'm on hallowed ground and I feel like I'm drowning. And I'm homeward bound, and still I feel like I'm drowning. But if I close my eyes, I can see your face. If I can just let go, I can feel your grace. And if I close my eyes, I may not feel so small. If I can just let go, then I can hear you call to me. When the wars rage and the people caged, where are you? When the floods surge and we're on the verge, where are you? I try to stand my ground and I feel like I'm drowning. There's no time to run around, and so I feel like I'm drowning. But if I close my eyes, I can see your face. If I can just let go, I can feel your grace. And if I close my eyes, I may not feel so small. If I can just let go, then I can hear you call. Oh, you can show me how. Oh, feel you with me now. But if I close my eyes, I can see your face. And if I can just let go, I can feel your grace. And if I close my eyes, it may not feel so small. If I can just let go, then I can hear you call to me.
I believe that when we take the time to answer these questions, sometimes the answers don't come. When we take the time to ask these questions, the answers don't come when we want them to. Sometimes we feel like the answers don't come at all, and there's not always an explanation for that. Sometimes the answer is we maybe need to listen, learn to listen in a new way. Sometimes the answer is God just doesn't answer in the timing that we want. Sometimes the answer is in some way that we're prevented from hearing God speak. There's no like clear and simple way to talk about what it is that is the reason that we sometimes have to wait for God's response. But one of the things that I've found in my personal life is that often the waiting is worth it. And yes, sometimes the waiting is agonizing. And yes, sometimes the waiting breaks us down in ways that we don't want to experience. And sometimes the breaking down in the ways we don't want to experience leaves room for growth in unexpected ways. I'd like to share with you a song that is not found on any Christian radio station. It's by a 90s sort of blues rock band called Blues Traveler. The song is called Just Wait, and it's a song that explores that sense of having to wait, of that feeling of brokenness. There's a lyric about feeling like all your uphill struggles leave you headed downhill. But it's also a song that has by far my very favorite lyric of any song that I've ever heard. And it's in the third verse. It'll come up, and I hope you'll hear it, but it goes like this. There's no such thing as a failure who keeps trying. Coasting to the bottom is the only disgrace. Again, this is a song by Blues Traveler. If ever you are feeling like you're tired, and all your uphill struggles leave you headed downhill, if you realize your wildest dreams can hurt you, and your appetite for pain is drinking its fill, I ask of you a very simple question. Did you think for 1 minute that you are alone? And is your suffering a privilege you share only? Or did you think that everybody else feels completely at home? Just wait. Just wait, just wait, it will come. If you think I've given up on you, you're crazy. And if you think I don't love you, well then you're just wrong. In time you just might take to feeling better. Time is the beauty of the road being long. I know that now you feel no consolation. But maybe if I told you and informed you out loud, I say this without fear and hesitation. I can honestly tell you that you'll make me proud. Just wait, just wait, just wait, it will come. Just wait, just wait, just wait, it will come. Anything I might have said has helped you. If anything I might have just said has helped you just carry on. You rise uphill may no longer seem a struggle. And your appetite for pain may all but be gone. I hope for you and cannot stop at hoping. Till that smile has once again returned to your face. There's no such thing as a failure who keeps trying.
coasting to the bottom. The only disgrace. Just wait. It will come. Just wait. It will come. Just wait. It will come.
One of the things that I talked about before, my focus in seminary was on the theology of secular music. That's a song that has spoken to me for a long time. I like the idea that God speaks to us in unexpected places. Sometimes when we find ourselves having to wait, sometimes the response that we get is from an unexpected place. And maybe it's a song on the radio, whether you listen to the Christian stations or not. Maybe it's through a friend, or maybe it's through a text message, or maybe it's through a random Facebook post or tweet. I mean, sometimes God speaks to us in amazing and profound ways. And I sort of feel like sometimes God approaches us in ways that help us to open our eyes to see, to hear, that God is still speaking. My friends, God is still speaking. Once we have that sense of that response, that inspiration, that still small voice, that strange warming of our hearts, that voice from a stranger or from a song lyric or from a dear friend, that, I feel like, is one of the times that transformation can happen, that we can begin to see a possibility for hope, that we can see a possibility for peace. I believe in those transformational times, that then we can see just a glimmer of how we want to be, who we want to be, how we understand that God is calling us to live our lives and make that choice to live in that way. You know, I said sometimes that God speaks to us in unexpected places, and I've not been shy that I don't always listen. I don't, frankly, like many of the Christian radio stations, but there's a song I heard on a Christian radio station that had really good, solid theology, and that it stood out to me. And this is the song that we'll close with. It's a song by a group called the Sidewalk Prophets. It's called Live Like That. And it's a song that reminds us that when we experience that call, that when we set our eyes on who it is that God calls us to be, that's when that transformation happens, that we can choose to live like that. Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my heart belongs? Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand, recklessly abandoned, never moving back. I wanna live like that. My proof that you are who you say you are, that grace can really change a heart. Do I live like your love is true? People pass, and even if they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see you? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where
glory of the King. I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I want to live like that. I want to live like that. I want to live like that.
It is my hope, my friends, that today you have heard the people sing. That you have heard the people, God's body of Christ. You have heard God's voice in music this day. Perhaps with the choir, perhaps in some of this, perhaps in our other musicians, perhaps in the still conversations that take place in our hearts, and perhaps in the conversations of the people around you as you took time to greet each other. And that in these things that you will open yourselves to the idea that God is still speaking. God is compelling us, calling us, imploring us to be the people of light and peace and joy and hope that we must be. Amen. Friends, we turn now to a time of prayer, prayers of this community. And so I invite you to join me in prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, thank you for the reminder that you still speak. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us patience to wait. Give us an openness to be transformed by your love and by your power. And in all things, help us to be your children. God, we lift up this prayer and any that are left unsaid as we turn our hearts and our minds to you. As we join in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.